Good morning and welcome once again to the Open Door Baptist Church, the men's prayer breakfast and devotion. As always, this devotion is dedicated to the memory of our friend, our loyal supporter and great man of God, William P. Davis. Today is October the 4th. 2011, year of our Lord, 2011. Today's devotion is going to be in Acts chapter 10, the story of Captain Cornelius, or Colonel Cornelius, whichever rank you want to give him. He was an officer in the Roman army. Some say captain and some say colonel. Colonel being the higher rank, but They both got a lot of responsibility. They usually was in the command of 100 or so soldiers, and they was usually the officers there in the military. They're gonna be career soldiers, and sort of the backbone of the. Of the military force, they're there to set example, certainly for the folks under them, and they usually make a career out of their military service. If you look in first couple of verses of chapter 10, Cornelius he says that he was an officer and he was a centurion. The Bible called him a centurion. And remember a little bit about a couple of instances here of centurions. It was a centurion that approached Jesus one time about one of his men, one of his servants was sick. Bible says he was ailing. Over in Matthew chapter 8. Verse 5 says, when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lies sick at home of the palsy, grievously tormented. And palsy means it's paralyzed, don't it? He was in obvious great pain. And Jesus said unto the centurion, said, well, I'll come over and heal him. Centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou should come under my roof. Just speak the word, and my servant will be healed. So obviously this man was operating in great faith. Drop on down to chapter 13, and it says, Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the self same hour. Right away, wasn't he? Also, remember at the crucifixion, remember the centurion there that witnessed the crucifixion and said in Mark, chapter 15, and when the centurion which stood over against him saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. Amen. Verse 2 of chapter 10 says Cornelius was a devout man. He was a religious man. He was serious about his religion. He feared God. He and his entire family did. He helped the poor. He gave money to the poor, helped them out. Scripture says he gave alms to the poor, and said it, he prayed to God always, all the time. the story begins here. Cornelius' vision that he had. The angel of the Lord come to him and called his name. He said, Cornelius. And Cornelius, he was surprised. He was shocked. He he was probably afraid, you know, at this voice calling him. And he might have been like us. He said, "Huh? You talking to me?" But the scripture said, he said, "What is it, Lord?" So the Lord said, "Thy prayers and thy alms have come up for a memorial to me." Said, "I know what you've been doing. I've been watching you. I know what you've been doing." Said, "Now here's what I want you to do. I want you to send some of your men to city of Joppa, J-O-P-P-A, Joppa. Now, we may remember the city of Joppa from the book of Jonah, don't we? Jonah 1:3. You know, you remember the Lord told Jonah to go to Nineveh and preach against the sin in that city down there. And Jonah said, "I don't know much about that. It's kind of ugly down there. I don't believe I want to." So he went to Joppa, and which was, by the way, it was a seaport city. That's where all the ships come in, was to that city. And anyway, so he went down to Joppa and got a boat going the other way to Tarshish, didn't he? Jonah 1:3 said, "But Jonah rose up and fled to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish." Said, "Send some men down to Joppa and see if you can find a man named Simon Peter down there." Said, "You may find him at the house of Simon the Tanner, which lives out by the seaside there." And by the way, a tanner, you know, somebody deals with leather goods, you know. Anyway, said he lives out by the seashore, and when you get there, said he'll instruct you further as to what you need to do. So the angel of the Lord, after he told him this in his vision, Cornelius got two of his main men, two of his best servants, and told him of his vision, and he sent them on down the road to the city of Joppa. So after that is a little short story here, so to speak, about the Peter's vision of a giant sheep that he was had a vision of. And these next few verses, Peter was waiting on the men to get back from Joppa, and so while he's waiting for them, he went up on the rooftop to pray, and he flipped out. It actually there's a space that was made on the rooftop, you know, where you could go up there. And he just didn't lose his mind. There was a place for that. So he went up there to pray. And while he was up there, he began to get hungry. And so he told the folks. And while he's waiting for his food, he fell into a trance. And in his trance, he saw heaven open and a big, giant, huge sheet, and it was kind of bound at the corners, each corner all together, and it kind of floated down in front of him, and in the sheet was wild beast, wild animals. Scripture says 4-footed beast, creepy crawly thing. Well, the Bible don't say creepy, but you get the idea. Crawly things. Birds of the air, fowls of the air, and they was all together in this giant sheet. And when Peter witnessed this, he heard another voice speak to him, says, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter said, "I don't think so." He said, "I never eat anything that was common or unclean. He thought these animals, these beasts, were unclean. And he said, I don't believe I want to eat that. So the voice come back to him and said, listen, sir, listen, mister. What God hath cleansed, it is not, I repeat, is not common or unclean. If I say it's fit to eat, that means it's fit to eat. It can be used for food. And don't say that it isn't fit for eat. If I had anything to do with this, Lord talking, obviously, he said, you bet on the fact that it'll be good for you to eat. So this incident happened. It went up and down three times, the Bible says. And then it was taken up to heaven, and it didn't come back again. The scripture says that Peter was perplexed. The Bible says it means he was confused. He didn't understand. He was puzzled, and he began to doubt himself as to what he had seen in that vision, especially for three times. He said, "Man, am I losing it here?" Maybe you should have called Daniel and asked him. You know, he's a pretty good interpreter of visions and dreams, wasn't he? He might have been able to help him a little bit here. finally, the men that Cornelius had sent, they arrived at Simon Peter's house, and he asked, was Simon Peter there, you know? And Peter was still thinking about his visions that he had received from the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit told him in the meantime, said, three men are looking for you. And the Holy Spirit said, don't be alarmed. He said, you go with them. He said, I sent them. Said, they ain't gonna bother. They ain't going to hurt you anything. Said, you just go on over there with them. Said, and don't question, don't doubt anything. I sent them. So, you just go with them. And so Peter went to him and he told him, said, I'm the one you're looking for. I'm Peter. I'm the one you're looking for. By the way, why are you here? And he said, Cornelius sent us. He sent us to get you. Said he was warned in a vision by the Holy Spirit to send for you to come get you, bring you to his house to see what all that you have to say. So, excuse me. Now in the next 8 or 10 verses here, it tells of Peter going to the city of Caesarea to Cornelius's house. So the next day they all left and headed for the house of Cornelius. And in the meantime, Cornelius had called all his family and friends and relatives together. And they were all in his house waiting for him. So when they met, Peter kind of met him at the door, you know, hey, how y'all doing? Come on up in here. I said, we've been waiting for you. When Peter walked in, Cornelius started bowing down to him and worshiping and praising him. And Peter said, what in the world are you doing? He said, I'm just a man just like you are. I said, you don't have to do that. Peter told him, said, stand up, man, come on. Said, I'm just a man just like you are. So they went on down to the room where all the friends and family and the relatives were. And this is a little bit unusual. And Peter said, it's kind of an unlawful thing. Said, the people of different nations ain't supposed to be associating. Said, what's all these different people, all these Jews and Gentiles come up in here? Said, what in the world going on? Said, this is highly irregular. But he went on to say, but God. But God has shown me that, I remember a couple of verses ago, you can't call any man common or unclean, like he told him about the, remember, told him about the beast being common and unclean. You can't say that all men are common or unclean either. What God has cleansed, call thou not common, is what he said. So, that being said, I come to you without objection. As soon as I was sent for, I said, I come running, so to speak. he said, he asked him it again. He said, what do you want from me? Cornelius explained that he was praying and fasting, and lo and behold, so to speak, a man come to me in a vision wearing radiant clothes, bright clothes, and said to me, the prayers are heard. The alms are received. Said, I know you've been praying. I know, again, you've been giving to the poor. He said, I know it's all to the glory of God. he said that I sent to Joppa like I was instructed to get Simon Peter immediately. And we did that, and now we all hear, hear of all that God hath told you to tell us. So that brings us here. I just said all that to say this. Chapter, verse 34 is where I want to be. There at Cornelius' house, and Peter is gonna preach to the to all these folks that are gathered, and see what he had to say. Verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." That's pretty obvious with all the Jews and Gentiles in there. that first observation. Deuteronomy 10:17, for the Lord your God is God of God, Lord of lords, great God, mighty and terrible, which in terrible here means awesome, by the way, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh any reward. He don't take no bribes either, does he? As we're going to see a little more of that, Romans 3:29. Is he the God of the Jews only, Scripture says? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Yes, indeed. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Pardon me. Feareth again in this case means respect. Don't mean fear. Fear means scared of him. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted by him. Psalms 15. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Who gonna be in heaven with you? And of course, verse 2 says, he that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. That's who's going to be in my tabernacle. Verse 36, the word of God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. Genesis 12:3, I will bless them that bless them, bless thee, curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. All the families of the earth. 37. That word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. Luke 4. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit unto Galilee. And there went out a fame of him. Fame means they went out news of him throughout all the region round about. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. That was under the power of the devil. And Acts 13:10, and said, O full of all deceit and all mischief. This is Paul was talking to Elymas. He was one of them sorcerers, a fortune teller, a magician. Listen to what he says about him. And said, O full of all deceit and all mischief, and thou child of the devil, the enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Pervert means to change around a little bit, don't it? To distort the truth is what it means. Also, John 8:29, and he that sent me is with me. That's Jesus talking. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things which please him. Verse 39, and we are all witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and Jerusalem, who they slew and hanged him on a tree. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witness unto me. 2:23 of Acts, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Determinate count, determinate means planning ahead of time, don't it? Note ahead of time, just about done here. Where are we, 40? Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Amen. Acts 13:30. But God raised him from the dead. 41. Not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. Luke 24, and it came to pass that he sat at meat with them. He took bread, blessed it, brake it, and gave it to them. Remember? And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. Matthew 28, go ye therefore and preach to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. That's the great commission of the born-again Christian, isn't it? Amen. 43, to give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. The one and only, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not really die, will he? But have everlasting life, shall not perish. That's the same thing. Not really. But they're dying, he'll live forever, won't he? Right. Amen. 44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision, the Jews, which believed, were astonished. They was amazed when as many as came with Peter, because that the Gentiles also were poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Thank you. Acts 11:17. For as much then as God gave them the same gift as he did unto us who believeth on the Lord Jesus Christ. about 46, 7, and 8. But they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized? All these folks in Cornelius' house here, which have received the Holy Ghost as well. And they commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And they prayed they him to tarry certain days. They tried to get him to hang around a little bit, didn't they? Acts 2:38, when Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Matthew 3:11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Amen. So, and finally, in conclusion here, Acts 10 tells the story of at the beginning, the gospel was only preached to the Jews, wasn't it? We remember from our Bible college days, to the Jews and some of the uncircumcised Greeks that they proselytized or changed over from they was, but now they somebody else. They changed over to the Jewish religion, remember. But now to the Gentiles, the door of faith is now open, isn't it? This is good news to us, the sinners of the Gentiles, so to speak. Back over in verse 34, remember, it said Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Romans 3:29, again, is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes. Yes, indeed, of the Gentiles also. The Apostle Peter, he was the first to admit the Gentiles into the Christian church. And, of course, Cornelius and all his family, all his friends and relatives, they were the first ones. Since they was already there, obviously, so they got in on the ground floor, so to speak. The whole story tells of how Cornelius was ordered in his vision to send from Peter, and by the way, he obeyed accordingly, and Peter came to his house and he preached to his family and friends and even the ones that was of a different nation, the scripture says, even the ones that were the Gentiles. The story concludes with Cornelius and all his family all being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, didn't he? The word of the Lord.